南無妙法蓮華経。南無妙法蓮華経。
So what's the next step in this talk of opening the eyes? Nichiren's evolved thinking as he's exiled to Sado. Talking about the history of civilizations in light of Buddhist teaching, great kings and teachers and rulers of several continents and countries and localities, city states with like 130 different places where things were proselytized within the continent of China. Same thing in Japan, anywhere, right? We have states here in the United States, and you would see that every state is really kind of an individual culture made of subcultures, yeah? Anyway, what am I talking about? Nichiren's been identifying this throughout the history of Buddhism, and what he keeps coming back to and he's going to lead to now is, hey, I'm just a fisherman's son, but I know how to read. And I've followed this scholarship for thousands of years now, not me personally, but through great teachers from the past. And I can see them all pointing to the same words of Shakyamuni. So if that's all you do is scholarship and pay attention to what Shakyamuni has said all along, you can't possibly miss the point. Unless you want to. Unless there's some personal advantage for you, some personal gain you can achieve by manipulating the words. Ah, well. Everyone's susceptible to that, yeah? And so he keeps pointing that out. Not only that it has happened, but how it has happened. Makes it really obvious. And he stands there, quite independent from, there's nobody else doing it in his day in Japan, saying, look, the answers are here. What they're saying over there, that doesn't agree with what was taught 3,000 years ago. So what they're teaching must not be this. If this is Buddhism, then that is not. That's what he's saying. He didn't invent that. He's just pointing it out. Right? So, chapter 7, proving the Buddha's prediction in the Lotus Sutra. Thank you for being here. We're going to continue with the opening of the eyes. I deeply appreciate your practice. Like, subscribe, support, Patreon, PayPal, all of that. You know the rap. I just wanted to take a moment at the beginning of this video to thank you all. Not only for your support of this channel, which your being here is support, but your practice, your diligence, your study, that's invaluable, right? All kinds of noises around the building today. The cicadas have been coming out. They're noisemakers, right? If you know anything about cicadas. I didn't until I moved to Mississippi. Wow, what an awakening that was. All right. Nichiren says, it has been already more than 20 years since I began speaking for this sutra, and my troubles have been increasing day by day, month by month, and year by year. People don't like to hear the truth. They like their little illusions. They like their lives just getting along to get along. And especially those in power, because I'm disturbing their control. So they want to shut me up, get me out of the way. This is what Nietzsche talks about a lot, right? So here it is again. Small troubles are incalculable, while severe ones are four in number. So he can identify at this point four major persecutions that he's had to withstand. Not speaking of two of them, I have already been twice the target of royal persecution from the highest levels of government. And my life is now in jeopardy, right? When they sent him to Sato, they first wanted to behead him. And something happened, and some event happened that disturbed everyone in the assassination party. And they decided they couldn't do it. So the regents said, take him out to Sato, let him die out there. Right? They're kind of fed up with this character. Moreover, my disciples and students and my lay supporters, including those laymen who have just come to hear me speak, were punished severely as though they had been rebels working against the government. Just for listening to me. It is said in the Lotus Sutra, Fassal 4, Chapter 10, the teacher of the Dharma, quote, this sutra was the target of much hatred and jealousy even during the lifetime of Shakyamuni Buddha, not to mention after Shakyamuni's death. When he wasn't around to speak for himself, the opposition grew bold and was even worse, right? It's so a repeated thing in history, right? It is said in the second fassal, chapter 3, a parable, quote, seeing a person who reads, writes, recites, copies, or keeps this sutra, some will despise and hate him, look at him with jealousy and harbor enmity against him, end quote. Right? They all feel challenged. Oh, you think you know better just because you do that. Oh, you think the emperor's naked, huh? Well, what if I knock your teeth out of your mouth? You're going to think he's naked then? It's pathetic. It's disgusting. But it's quite human, isn't it? And in the fifth fassal, chapter 14, Peaceful Practices, quote, many people in the world will hate it and very few will believe it. Because it's hard. Because Buddhism requires you to take the most in-depth look at yourself. And how many people are willing to do that? Even if they get desperate, people are not easily convinced to look within. Oh yeah, in religions, they play at that, but they don't really look at that because what they look at is magical. So everyone's comfortable in magic, no matter how loathsome it may be. It's not really you. You're a victim. It's the stuff around you. And Buddhism doesn't tolerate that. No, we're going to dig into your DNA. We're going to look at your mind and what it's doing right now. And by the way, we looking at it is you. It's you dealing with you. You want to be enlightened? Go ahead. Nobody's going to do it for you. That takes some courage, right? In the 13th chapter, Encouragement for Keeping This Sutra, because we need encouragement, ignorant people will speak ill of him and abuse him. Another quote, in order to speak ill of him and to slander him, they will say things to kings, ministers, Brahmins, and influential householders that he has heretical views and he will sometimes be driven out of his monastery. Right? Because that's what people do when they don't feel they have any real power. They just operate out of fear. So they manipulate the world of anger. Oh, psst, yeah, I know you're my boss and everything, or you're the parent or you're the tribe or, you know, do you see what little brother's doing? Or, right, and try to impugn everything you do. And those in power, whether they understand it or not, they like being in power. So if you give them ammunition to display their power, they're not likely to analyze it. They'll just use it. Okay, I'll punish him. Bap. They don't care. They're exercising their power. And then the snicker from the person who lied. Somehow they've captured a little sense of that power. Ooh. God, it's frightening. It's so childish. But I've seen well-grown adults behave that way. It always blows my mind when I see a 50-year-old behave like that. Literally happy and content with their... I don't understand it. Well, I do, but I don't like seeing it. It also said in the seventh facile, chapter 20, the never despising bodhisattva chapter, quote, they will strike him with sticks, pieces of wood, or tiles, or stone. Their Nirvana Sutra states, quote, thereupon numerous non-Buddhists gathered together and went to see King Ajatasattu of the Magadha kingdom, saying, quote, now there is a wicked man, a wanderer, who is Gautama, speaking of Shakyamuni Buddha, yeah? For the purpose of making a profit, all wicked men in the world are gathering around him and becoming his followers, doing nothing good. With his occult power, Gautama converted such men as Kashyapa, Sariputra, and Madhagalyayana. Madhagalyayana. End quote. Right? They went to the king. Said, this guy's getting influential. And people are using the crap that he spouts to profit from others. They're learning how to be magical wanderers. And they're using it for their own profit. In other words, they're stealing from us. We can't compete. Do something about him. That sounds very contemporary, doesn't it? It's nothing new. Explaining the hatred and jealousy towards the Lotus Sutra during the Buddha's lifetime referred to in its fourth facile, Tendai said in his words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, facile 8, quote, even during the lifetime of the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, it was difficult to spread the Lotus Sutra. How much more so after his death? It is because people do not listen to the true Dharma that is difficult to teach and guide them. End quote. Right? Wherever Shakyamuni would go, there was already rumors that he was coming and there would be consequences if they partook in any of the lectures. You go there and the authorities will single you out and you'll be a dirty so-and-so. So instead of really hearing what Shakyamuni had to say, listening to the sermon, learning it, memorizing it, right? Chanting it, singing it. They might feign, oh yeah, yeah, oh that's nice, yeah. It's kind of, catchy tune. But they wouldn't really listen to it. They wouldn't get the meaning. I just did a whole video on meaning, yeah? Commenting on this Tendai statement, Miao Lo said in his annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, facile 8, quote, hatred means slavery to delusions. Right? They didn't hate Shakyamuni. What they were desperately clinging to were their daily delusions. And Shakyamuni stood as the kid in the crowd calling out the emperor as naked. We don't want to hear that. We'd rather cling to our ideas that he's swathed in elegant silks and... So what if we know it's not true? It's comforting, and we all go along to get along. That's much more comfortable than this new realization that, oh yeah, reality, what a bitch, right? And evil passions and jealousy mean unwillingness to listen to the Lotus Sutra. No, I don't want to hear it. Sounds like a 3-year-old, 4-year-old. And yet, he tried to preach, just as the Buddha was confronted with hatred and jealousy, when he tried to preach the Lotus Sutra, so it is with those who tried to do so after his death. Numerous scholars in China, including 3 southern masters and 7 northern masters, consider Tendai their hated enemy, because he was showing all their flaws. Screw him. We're happy in our delusions. Yeah? It's human nature. A Japanese Hoso monk, Tokuitsu, had this to say, quote, "What's the matter with you, Master Tendai? Whose disciple are you? With your less than 3-inch long tongue, you have slandered the Hoso doctrine preached by the Buddha with his long and wide tongue." But actually, that's not true at all, right? This monk just didn't want to hear it. It is stated in the Tendai interpretation of the meaning of the Lotus Sutra by Chitu of Tung Chung. Quote, a question was asked. Quote, much hatred and jealousy existed even during the Buddha's lifetime. Shakyamuni Buddha. Why is it that those who expounded the Lotus Sutra after his death encounter so many difficulties? Right, I understand people not liking Shakyamuni, but what about us? And his answer was, as a popular saying goes, a good medicine tastes bitter. This sutra tears down the barriers among the 5 realms of human beings, gods, Sravakas, Pratyekabuddhas, and Bodhisattvas, and establishes the one ultimate teaching. Therefore, it rejects common men and scolds pious men, refuses the Mahayana and breaks down the Hinayana, calls celestial demons poisonous insects, regards non-Buddhists as vicious devils, disparagingly calls men of the 2 vehicles who stick to the Hinayana the poor and the lowly, and discourages Bodhisattvas by calling them novices. This is the reason why celestial demons hate to listen to it. It grates upon the non-Buddhist's ears. Hinayana sages of the 2 vehicles are alarmed, and Bodhisattvas are discouraged. All of these fellows make trouble for those who spread the Lotus Sutra. How can we say that much hatred and jealousy is merely an attempt, an empty expression, right? It's a very, very potent exemplar. It points at something very important. And take note, for those who still think that Nietzsche invented something new, that these are quotations from commentaries and teachings hundreds of years before Nietzsche came about, 700 years before the teachings even reached Japan. There's a consistency here. Nietzsche is our mentor, our contemporary teacher, but what he teaches isn't new. It's something that Shakyamuni was teaching in his lifetime, thousands of years ago. What a brilliant man. We're all working to achieve what he achieved. Grandmaster Dengyo stated in his Kenkai-ron, the classification of the precepts, quote, superintendents of Buddhist priests in Nara defamed Dengyo in their petition to the imperial court. There was a Brahmin wizard in the land of Hishia to the west of China, while there is a bald-headed Buddhist monk with a honey tongue in the land to the east. They are in a secret league to fool the world. Dengyo refuted this, saying, "We hear of Hui Quang, who was defeated in debate and tried to poison Grandmaster Bodhidharma in the past in Qi, China. Now we see six superintendents of Nara in Japan who, defeated in debate, are trying to persecute Dengyo. How true is it of the Lotus Sutra prediction, quote, how much more hatred and jealousy after the death of Shakyamuni Buddha?" Grandmaster Dengyo also stated in the Hokeshuku, the outstanding principles of the Lotus Sutra, quote, "As for the time, it is toward the end of the age of the semblance Dharma and in the beginning of the latter age of degeneration. As for the land, it is to the east of Dang China and west of Katsu. And as for the people, they live in the evil world filled with the five defilements and engage in constant warfare. It is said in the Lotus Sutra, quote, there is much hatred and jealousy even during the Shakyamuni Buddha's lifetime, not to mention after his death. How true is this? And I too have said this to you. Look at our world today. There's so much brilliance and beauty and amazingness in this world today. You could look at technology and you could look at biology and you could look at all the fields of experience that we humans have. And oh my. And yet right alongside of it is this constant bickering, madness, competition for control, war, just ugliness. Life has a balancing act, doesn't it? From exploding supernova to quiet solitary planets. Such is the mechanisms of life. But we can influence with our minds, we can influence that very thing. How amazing is that? Now, if a child is given moksha treatment by his mother, he inevitably resents his mother for having to go through whatever that is. Like medicine, sometimes it's not pleasant, yeah? Like good advice. Given precious medicine, a seriously sick person may grumble at its bitter taste. So it is with the Lotus Sutra, even during the lifetime of Shakyamuni Buddha. How much more so after his death, and in a remote corner of the land? Just like mountains placed on tops of mountains and waves on tops of waves, difficulties on top of difficulties and abuses on top of abuses will occur. If it was Tendai alone who correctly read the Lotus Sutra and all the Buddhist scriptures during the age of the semblance Dharma. Various masters in northern and southern China hated him for it. However, as sagacious rulers of the Chen and Sui dynasties in China clarified through debates in front of their own eyes who was right, his enemies eventually disappeared. They're just little noises that were silenced because they couldn't stand up to truth. Clarity, what is right? Toward the end of the age of semblance Dharma, Dengyo alone in Japan correctly read the Lotus Sutra and all the Buddhist scriptures, although seven great temples of Nara, the southern capital, rose against him. Nothing happened to him because emperors Kamu and Saga themselves clarified who was right. They took honest debate. honest debate, scholarly debate, not theater debates like we see in our political parties today, just saying the right words to get elected without any doctrine to follow, any, what do we call it? Not programs, but policies, right? No actual functional direction, just yak, 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 rhetoric, propaganda. That's not a debate. That's an advertising, what, game, competition? Who can come up with the best commercial? There's no meaning in that. It's just words. Blah, 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 blah. And we're always confronted with this in Buddhism, aren't we? But now it's been over 200 years since the beginning of the latter age of the generation, and I've not been allowed to meet opponents in debate. They won't even let me do it because they know I'll crush every single one of them they put up against me. Not because I, Nietzschean, am right, but because I, Nietzschean, am reading it as it is. I'm not making it up. Instead, I've been banished and my life put in jeopardy. It proves that the warning in the Lotus Sutra about much hatred and jealousy after the death of Shakyamuni Buddha is not an empty threat. It also proves that we are in the beginning of endless warfare and in a decadent world of corruption where foolishness takes precedence over reason. Poof, drop the mic. Therefore, although my comprehension of the Lotus Sutra is not worth even 1/10,000,000th of that of Tendai and Dengyo, see how self-effacing he is? He doesn't claim to be an all-seeing eye. He never has. So groups that would falsely deify Nichiren are missing all of his own words. They're not getting it. They're creating false idolatries. And here comes that magical thinking right behind it, right? Belong to our club. We're the ones. It's not what Nichiren is about. There's only one club that Nichiren is about, Buddhiness. And we're all de facto members if we only would wake up to it, just as Shakyamuni taught. That's all Nichiren is doing. Great clarification, yeah? I dare say that my endurance on its behalf and the compassion for the people are beyond these masters. What I've been put through as the one who's willing to say what's obvious has met with more persecution than even these great masters. So I must really be disturbing some serious corruption, right? In this age of greed, anger, and stupidity. I am sure that I deserve to receive some, you know, universal protection, but there is not even a shred of it. At least I don't feel protected, is what he's saying. Instead, I've been condemned to heavier and heavier penalties. Looking back in this light, I wonder whether or not I am one who practices the Lotus Sutra and whether or not various gods, deities, have left this land entirely. Am I doing this right? Right? Haven't we all felt that in our lower moments when things just seem dire? Am I just fooling myself? Yeah, Nichiren, I know how you feel. I have those moments of doubt. But how do I answer that? What do I do with that, right? Well, you know the answer. However, had I, Nichiren, been born in this country, the 20-line verse of the 13th chapter of encouragement for keeping this sutra in the fifth facet of the Lotus Sutra would be empty words and the Buddha would almost be a great liar. Those uncountable number of bodhisattvas who made the vow to uphold the Lotus Sutra would be accused of committing the same sin of lying as Devadatta. The verse says, quote, ignorant people will speak ill of us, abuse us, and threaten us with swords and sticks. In the world today, is there any Buddhist monk other than me, Nichiren, who is spoken ill of, abused, and threatened with swords or sticks or on account of the Lotus Sutra? Anyone else? If I, Nichiren, were not here, this verse would be a false prediction. In other words, my life is evidence of Shakyamuni's incredible insight. It also says, quote, monks in this evil world will be cunning and ready to flatter others. They will preach the Dharma to laymen for worldly gain and be respected by the people just as the Arhat who has the six superhuman powers. If there were no Pure Land Buddhists or monks of the Zen or Ritsu, the schools of Buddhism in this world, this prediction would also make the Buddha a great liar. So you understand what he just said there, that these great masters of Zen and the Ritsu and these other sects were just using the words of Buddhism for their own gain, manipulating people in their little hierarchy of religion, really enemies of Buddha. It says, quote, in order to slander us in the midst of a great crowd of people, they will speak ill of us to kings, ministers, Brahmins, and men of influence. Right? We already read that. These would be empty words unless Buddhist monks in this world slandered me and had exiled me, which evidence has happened. It further stated, quote, we will be banished many times. If I, Nichiren, had not been exiled repeatedly on the account of the Lotus Sutra, not for any other reason, what would we do with these two words of many times? Even Dendai and Dengyo did not read these two words from experience, much less other people. I, Nichiren, alone read them from experience, for I fit perfectly the Buddha's, Shakyamuni Buddha's description of the person spreading the Lotus Sutra in the dreadful and evil world of this latter age, right? At the beginning of the latter age of degeneration. So, I mean, he's not giving himself medals. He's just saying, if not me, who? And isn't this already predicted? Wow. Something to consider, yeah? For example, the Buddha predicted in the Fuhozokyo, the Sutra of Transmission of the Buddha's Teaching, that 100 years after his death, there would be a great king named Ashoka. It is predicted in the Maya Sutra that 600 years after the death of Shakyamuni Buddha, there would be a man named Nagarjuna. In South India, while the Sutra of the Great Compassion says, quote, 60 years after the Shakyamuni's death, there will be a man called Madhyantika who will build a base in the palace of the Dragon King to spread Buddhism, quote. These predictions of Shakyamuni Buddha all came to be. Otherwise, who would have faith in Buddhism? Right? They would just be empty words that never panned out. But because they panned out, it lent a lot of credence to those words, yeah? Nevertheless, in both the Shohoke Kyo, the Chinese translation of the Lotus Sutra by Dharmaraksa, and the Myohoke Kyo, the Kumarajiva's Chinese translation of the Lotus Sutra, The Buddha has precisely defined the time for the spread of this sutra as when the world is dreadful and evil, the future latter age, the latter age when the Dharma is about to be extinguished, or the last fifth 500-year period after the death of Shakyamuni Buddha. Had there not been three kinds of strong enemies against one who practices the lotus today, who would believe in Shakyamuni Buddha? Had there not been Nichiren, who would be the one who practices the Lotus Sutra to prove the Shakyamuni Buddha's prediction? Even three southern masters and seven northern masters in China, as well as seven great temples of Nara in Japan, were among the enemies of the Lotus Sutra during the age of the Semblance Dharma. How can the schools of Zen, Ritsu, and Pure Land Buddhists today escape from being enemies of the Sutra? Since the words of the Sutra correspond to me, the deeper I fall into disgrace with the shogunate, the greater my pleasure. This is like a Hinayana Bodhisattva who has not completely exterminated all delusions and evil passions, wishing to be reborn in this world. That is to say, as he sees his parents suffering greatly in hell, he would intentionally accumulate bad karma in order to go to hell himself, where he would be glad to share their sufferings. I, Nichiren, am in a similar situation, though my sufferings today are difficult to bear. I am happy for the future when I will be free from the evil realms. Looking forward to his enlightenment, his liberation from these earthly matters, right? Okay, next is chapter 8. Why do heavenly beings not protect one who practices the Lotus Sutra? There's that wonderful question, why, again. But I think it's important to also recognize protecting one who practices Lotus Sutra. Again, I keep coming back to this foundational thought. Our practice is our own. So not only should you not expect Buddha on a lotus to come and float into your life and save you, because it's in your mind, the saving, the liberation, that's your work, your realization. It doesn't come from outside of you. And for the same exact reason, hoping that something will come and save you as you practice is the same delusion. But I'll save that for the next video. In the meantime, with great humble appreciation, thank you for listening. Please like, and most importantly, subscribe. And if you can, offer more support for this channel to grow. Yeah, there's patreon.com/TLK, Threefold Lotus Quoon. There's paypal.me/SifuSylvain. Anything you can do, one time, recurring, however you can support. It's amazing. I wish I didn't have, you know, I've said this before, I'm not one who likes to ask for money. But I don't ask for me. I ask for this resource to continue to grow. I ask for this influence of this being on a platform that, with likes and subscriptions, will make it more available. We'll make it more, it'll come up in more searches. It'll appear for more people who use this platform, and therefore the potential for spreading this teaching, this scholarship, this resource for people to practice Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. That's what it's all about. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, patrons. Thank you, all of you. And I will see you in the next one. Bye for now.